This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:05. It's great to have you with us for the Wednesday edition of the Noon Business Hour. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. We've got some sunshine this afternoon, a high temperature of 63 degrees. Right now it's 58 at O'Hare and 46 at the lakefront.
A press conference was supposed to be getting underway right about now into the disappearance of 5-year-old Andrew A.J. Friend in Crystal Lake. However, that press conference has now been rescheduled for 1 o'clock this afternoon as there are multiple reports that a body has been found. WBBM is on the scene, and any details that come in, we will certainly bring to you as soon as they come in. The Noon Business Hour is presented by Old Second Bank. Let's kick things off with an update of Wall Street. At Bloomberg, here's Joan Doniger.
Cisco, investors may be a little bit introspective today. After taking the NASDAQ and S&P to new closing highs yesterday, they've pulled all three averages back right now. Not too far, though. The Dow is down 48, the NASDAQ 13, the S&P 6. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index adding 0.2%, Addus Home Care leading the gains. Now, investors are balancing earnings that generally have come in better than predicted with softer than expected economic data around the world. Strategists say there are enough signs of slowing growth to signal caution. And you can read all of it in the reports that have come in today so far. Caterpillar sparked caution because of a drop in heavy equipment sales in Asia. Up to 10% of the company's sales come from China, so Caterpillar shares are down 2%. But Boeing shares are flying about 1% higher, even though the plane maker is still working on the software update for the 737 MAX and will have to pass regulators' review. No word on when it will be cleared to fly again. Boeing is open, it says, to a rigorous evaluation. In the meantime, it says its finances will take about $1 billion hit because of the crisis, and until then it won't be talking about how it will do for the rest of the year. Back to you, Cisco and Chris.
Thanks, Joan. On today's Noon Business Hour, among many other topics, we're going to be talking about younger and older investors.
Yeah, how do you get started, especially if you are younger? Personal Finance Wednesday, credit card debt, how to tackle it before it tackles you, and McDonald's is making a bet on older workers.
Your best stock option. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
More older Americans are finding themselves in the workplace, and McDonald's is among the employers looking to hire them. We're going to talk about that in our next segment. Right now, getting started early or investing can improve to be a huge help over time. Let's talk about ways to get a solid portfolio going with Craig Bolanos, who is a founding partner and chief executive officer at Wealth Management Group. Offices in Inverness and Downers Grove. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour, Craig. Tell us how you work on this.
Well, I think we all know as adults, the younger you are when you begin retirement investing, the more money you're going to have. And just think about it. You know, think about our kids. How different can and will our children's future be if they understand how to build wealth before they even graduate from high school? And 'tis the season for graduations from junior high to high school, confirmations, bar mitzvahs. It's just a great opportunity to talk about getting things like the kiddie Roth IRA started.
So we can count on children to lock up that money and not work with it for a few years?
Probably not my kids, although they're going to meet me halfway. So let me share with you how we do it. We spend so much time educating our children and the children of the families we serve about putting money into three simple categories. They save, then they spend, then they invest. And saving is so easy. The kids get excited because they have everything on their smartphones. So we get them hooked up with online savings accounts where they're actually going to see real interest build because online savings accounts are paying more than 2%. And then what they're not saving in that online account via their smartphone, we're having them spend some of their money on those discretionary purchases. But then the big step comes next, which is the excitement and the emotions that build when they start to successfully invest.
So if they're doing this, you know, $20, $40 at a time, you know, if it's not necessarily a windfall like some sort of someone's left something in a will, an inheritance, that sort of thing, over time, I mean, you're not talking necessarily about life changing money. So what? How do you encourage kids to still stick with this?
Well, I think you have to somehow make investing fun. And part of making investing fun, part of making savings fun, is creating visibility with it. And, you know, we've actually talked in this program before that when the kids are really young, I'm a big believer when they're in elementary school, literally showing them putting savings in what we call a translucent jar so they can see it grow. But trust me when I say, because I live with children and I've got nieces and nephews, technology is creating tremendous leverage whereby when they can log on to their smartphone, which they have so much screen time each day, and they can even see simple gains that come from dividends, interest, or appreciation by investing in low-cost index funds or diversified mutual funds, it's just going to create some organic momentum on their own. And believe it or not, $50 here, $100 here goes an awfully long way over a number of years or a couple of decades.
So what advice do you give for those little investments, as you mentioned, you know, $20 here, $30 there? Because some funds won't let you get in unless you have a certain amount of money. Some platforms won't let you buy a stock unless you buy a whole share. What do you advise people?
Well, it's so much easier than it used to be, and I'm happy you asked that question because, yes, the barriers to entry used to be more cumbersome because people didn't have $2,000, $3,000 to meet a minimum investment. But today, there are so many dirt-cheap, low-cost index fund and mutual fund providers that will take opening balances with as little as $250 or opening balances with monthly deposits as little as $10, and people can go search those out, finding cheap online portals just by using their search browser. And guess who's good at you searching the internet?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Same kids and teenagers that are going to be investing.
Yeah, they can sure teach us a thing or two. Thank you, Craig Bolanos, founding partner and chief executive officer at Wealth Management Group in Inverness and Downers Grove. Coming up, McDonald's has the new hiring sign out, and older workers are welcome to apply for these jobs.
An economy of words. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
McDonald's is teaming up with AARP in an effort to hire older workers for its breakfast and lunchtime shifts. The fast food giant isn't the only company looking to seniors as potential employees. We welcome Scott Sargis, founder and president of Strategic Search Corp here in Chicago. Scott, so what is in this for McDonald's? Why a push for older workers?
Well, happy Wednesday, Cisco. Thanks for having me on. The key is we had the 102nd straight month of jobs creation. What that means is there are more job openings than are qualified workers. So what it means for McDonald's is a greater pool of talent to fill their jobs.
And so are they these particular areas of need? I mean, they're sort of looking to people who are retirees, or are they people who are close to retirement? What kind of worker are they looking for?
Well, they're looking for a lot of people, but the main areas that they're looking for is for technology to improve, you know, their push to the next level in their fight against other food processing and fast food companies. So the key to older workers is to keep abreast of what are the key skills for IT and technology so that you're ready to go if you do get the call.
It's interesting, Scott. The older workers helped fuel recent U.S. growth. Can this continue?
It will, as long as the jobs creation continues. You know, and there is no end in sight. 196,000 jobs were created last month, and all the signs are that there's going to be continuing creation. The unemployment rate, even in Illinois, which the most latest terms were 4.3%. So all signs show that that's going to continue, Chris, in the near future.
Does AARP have information if people want to get some information in their neighborhoods?
Well, they have a wealth of knowledge, but one of the things I recommend is you want to keep abreast of technology. Check out the AARP site. Also, keep abreast of what is current in technology so that you're ready to go in case you do get the call. That's the key. You want to keep abreast of what's going on in technology so that you're ripe in case McDonald's and other companies call you.
As we think about some of these older workers, the people McDonald's is recruiting, are these people who are mostly sort of laid off, kind of looking for work, or are they people who maybe have retired, but they want something to do? I mean, they're not ready for the rocking chair.
Well, it's a combination of both. And you know, I'm not exactly sure what McDonald's is looking for in particular, but based on what some of our clients are looking for, and we mainly place technical engineering and scientific workers, is, you know, it's probably technology. You know, what is cutting edge in Internet of Things, artificial intelligence, robotics, et cetera. So I would recommend that you keep abreast of those trends and what's going on in different technologies so that you're ready to go in case you get the call.
Thanks so much. Yeah, being ready really does seem like a key. Thank you. Scott Sargis, founder and president, Strategic Search Corp here in Chicago. Still ahead, Personal Finance Wednesday, getting a grip on credit card debt before it overtakes you. And Bloomberg checks the markets next as they are falling.
WBBM News Time, 12:25. It's time now for business news, sponsored by FinishingChicago.com. And here is Joan Doniger.
Chris, stocks are edging lower as investors go over earnings reports that are coming in a little better than they figured, but some are also showing signs of economic slowing. So the Dow is down 37, the NASDAQ falling 6, the S&P 4. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg is now down 0.1%. Investors are giving back some of the gains they made yesterday in Anixter shares. Caterpillar provoked some of the second thoughts today. Although it did beat targets, it reported a drop in sales of heavy equipment in a key market, the Asia-Pacific region. China is where up to 0.1% of company sales come from, so Caterpillar shares are falling 2%. Investors are giving Boeing the benefit of the doubt as it handles the 737 MAX crisis. Shares are up about 1%. Boeing won't say for a while what it expects the company to do financially this year while it steers its way through the crisis. There is no word on when the MAX software fix will take place, but Boeing did say the whole thing could cost as much as $1 billion extra. And yeah, there's a reason McDonald's is recruiting older workers. Federal data show over the past 3 years, about 3 million Americans 55 or older joined or rejoined the workforce. Now let's check in with Kurt Kimmel at Bates Commodities in Normal. Kurt?
Well, good afternoon, Joan. Grain values are lower as we go through the noon hour. A larger than expected Canadian wheat acreage report and a favorable weather forecast for the western wheat belt have been the negative features. Forecasters continue to show an inactive weather pattern as we move into next week. However, old crop corn and bean demand remains in question. Corn futures are 2.5 to 3 cents lower, soybeans 5 to 5.5 cents lower, and the wheat market 6 to 8 cents lower. This is Kurt Kimmel, Bates Commodities in Normal.
Thanks, Kurt. With business at 25 and 55, live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, Joan Doniger, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Good afternoon. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
Stocks are losing a little ground. We'll see what's crimping the markets.
Personal Finance Wednesday. Expert advice on making sure that you don't fall into the abyss of a credit card debt.
Ford making a major investment in a maker of electric trucks.
Police are set to hold a news conference in about a half an hour to discuss the case of a missing 5-year-old boy from Crystal Lake. There are now multiple reports that a body has been found.
Wall Street, the Dow down 53. NASDAQ is down 6. The S&P down 4 points. Oil is down a little more than 0.5%.
Mostly cloudy this afternoon. A high of 63, 50s near the lakefront. 58 degrees right now at O'Hare.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by Old Second Bank.
Well, the markets are lower this hour. We are joined by Nick Raich, who is a CEO of the Earnings Scout in Cleveland. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour, Nick. What's going on the market today?
Well, this is peak earnings season, so we have 42 companies in the S&P 500 reporting, either that have reported or will report later today. And corporate America is reporting very solid earnings, something that wasn't anticipated just several months ago. So growth was anticipated to be negative in the first quarter by most on Wall Street. There was talk of an earnings recession, and for what we're seeing for the first 132 or 26% of the companies in the S&P 500 have reported first quarter results, and we're seeing report positive 6.3% earnings growth, so not negative, and the results have come in better than feared, and that's why we closed yesterday at an all-time high on the S&P 500.
Why are things turning around like this?
You know, one reason they're turning around is the Fed is more friendly this year than they were at the end of last year. So there was the potential of the Fed continuing to hike rates into this year and crimping off growth through higher interest rates. That's number one. That is ease some of the pressure off of earnings for out later this year. And also China's stabilizing. The Chinese economy Chinese stocks have done very well this year. Up nearly 30% for the Shanghai Composite year-to-date. And you wonder why. Well, why is U.S. earnings doing so good with China? You know, these U.S. multinational companies such as Caterpillar today or Nike or the like that make up the S&P 500 derive a lot of their growth from China. So with the stabilization of Chinese economy, that has allowed the earnings to not fall as much as we originally feared.
And is that why we've heard for several weeks a deal with China on trade is near? Is that one of the reasons Wall Street is hoping that finally does get done?
So the reason why the Chinese economy is stabilizing is because of the potential for a deal being near done, and then also the Chinese government itself is stimulating the economy with more monetary and fiscal stimulus. So those three factors and very low expectations in China have stabilized the economic expectations there, which then help the U.S. profits for the U.S. multinationals. So those will all be positives out there. And again, those factors, all those positives out there that we're seeing now really have outweighed all those negative factors that people were worried about just 2-3 months ago. So, again, that's why stocks are at all-time high.
Let's talk specifically about Boeing. Obviously, it's had troubles over the last several weeks. It reports profit down 21%, and yet the stock is up almost 1% today.
Right. So, again, this comes back to the better than feared. You know, it's not that things are great, the profits are down, but the market was expecting those numbers to be down. So when we see that Boeing does come in and beat estimates, you know, it beat on both the top and bottom lines today. That's it. So when you price in the worst and the worst doesn't come, sometimes stock prices go higher, even when you see growth falling from last year, because the growth was expected to fall even more.
What about customers coming back at Boeing after the 737 crisis that they had, the MAX crisis?
Yeah, I believe that's a near-term hit. I mean, certainly you have some reputation damage, but Boeing has a long history of success. It would take a lot more, I think, to damage the reputation of Boeing. Definitely unfortunate what happened to their planes and all, but again, I think it would take more of a hit to take Boeing out long term.
Well, let's talk about a couple of other tech stocks that are going to be reporting after the bell today. Facebook and Microsoft, obviously we'll know for sure after the bell how they did, but how do you think they're going to do?
So Microsoft's been one of our favorite names for the last several years, so a lot of people kind of have written that one off, but it's been a very steady Eddie, nice stock to invest in. Very below average estimate revisions, which means it lives up to its growth expectations. It's been very solid, rock solid performer. Expect a dollar for earnings for night for Microsoft, and we think that's going to be exceeded. Facebook's, we're looking at a dollar. 66 is expected for its quarterly earnings tonight. Facebook's also having improving earnings estimate trends that, you know, also had its issues, sort of like Boeing, that it has worked out and has advanced from. So sometimes companies get thrown curves, and good management teams and solid performance can allow them to hit it out of the park if they do that. So we're going to look at those as bellwethers, though, for the tech sector. And when it comes to the Microsoft in general, again, the China stabilization should help some of these technology companies that sell software around the world.
It's interesting because Microsoft, when it came out, was the big sexy tech stock that everybody wanted to be in. I mean, this was years ago, but now it is the elderly uncle.
I'm with you. Yeah, Cisco, Microsoft, those were the high flyers now. Now you have to say Snap or something like that for the technology or or Lyft or Uber, all the new technology. But yeah, Microsoft is considered a steady Eddie boring stock now. But again, boring companies can be great stocks.
Thanks so much for being with us. Always good insight. Nick Raish, CEO of the Earnings Scout, based in Cleveland. The website, earningsscout.com. Up next, Personal Finance Wednesday, staying out of the dangerous grip of credit card debt.
News that makes you money. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Personal Finance Wednesday here on the Noon Business Hour, and today we are joined by Liz Weston, columnist for NerdWallet, author of the books Your Credit Score, the fifth edition, and Deal With Your Debt, based in Los Angeles, talking about credit card debt and how it is a huge financial drain. And that's our first question for you, Liz. We've gotten to a point where credit used to be something not everyone had. Now it seems everyone has it. Is it difficult not to allow that to become just a big drain?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, credit card debt is often referred to as toxic debt because it's really not building anything. It's not like a student loan where you can earn more money eventually or a house that can appreciate in value. It's just a drain on your finances. And it's a little bit of a myth that everybody has it because there's a big chunk of people who do have credit cards and pay them off in full. But there are also another big chunk that continue to carry credit card balances from month to month. And it really can endanger their finances.
And do you really have to be realistic and sober about this? Because I think a lot of people say they're going to pay it off, and that allows them to maybe get several hundred dollars or even several thousand dollars on there. But at the end of the month, they're just unable to do it. Do you have to be realistic about this?
Well, you do, but there's also the problem of people's expenses and income often don't match up. And sometimes they need to tide themselves over, you know, between paychecks. They unexpectedly have their hours cut. There's an unexpected bill. All those things can kind of pile up on you. So you want to avoid credit card debt and avoid charging things that you can't afford. But sometimes it's just one of those situations where things pile up on you.
So you sit down and you start graphing it. And, you know, we can maybe do this and maybe do less of that. How do you start forward?
Well, actually, the first thing I suggest people do is look at the total of your debt. That's not something that people in debt, you know, it's not a fun thing to do. It's just there can be a lot of money going out the door. But it does help you understand the scope of the problem. And also, if you're looking at a situation where your credit card debt and your medical bills and other debt that could be erased in bankruptcy, if that kind of debt is 50% or more of your income, you probably should be talking to a credit counselor at least and probably a bankruptcy attorney, because that level of debt is just too much to dig out from under on your own. If you're not there yet, if you're not being sued, for example, or you're not struggling to make minimum payments, then absolutely start looking at areas that you can cut, things that you can temporarily suspend, subscriptions, whatever, to free up some money, and you start throwing that at your debt.
Is there a common amount that we can point to and say, this is where you stop?
In terms of how much
money
turn to a bankruptcy,
yeah,
or
yeah. How much you use that card? Is it, you know, $3,000, $7,000? How do you know?
It, you know, it really varies by family situation, but basically that's the metric we use, is the 50% mark. If your debt has reached the 50% of your income, that's the point at which you can't really dig out within 5 years, and that's the metric that's used for bankruptcy in terms of paying off your debt. So if you're at that point, that's when you need to turn and get some expert help. The good news is that bankruptcy attorneys tend to have free or very low-cost initial sessions, so at least you can get that information and that advice on your personal situation before you move forward.
So let's say you're someone who's not at that point yet, that 50% mark. Maybe it's 20 or 30%. It just seems so daunting, I think, for people at points. Is it, hey, little bit by little bit, let's start chipping away at this? Is you know, you mentioned not necessarily feeling like you have to tackle it all at once.
Yeah, absolutely. And what people don't want to do is grab for a quick solution. A lot of people try to go borrow more money to take care of their debt. And it doesn't really help because you're not addressing the situation that got you into debt in the first place. And we have this little mental quirk where if we consolidate our debt, if we, you know, pay it off with a 401k loan, or, you know, we take money out of our house, somehow in our brains we've zeroed out that debt. And we just wind up adding more. It happens over and over again that consolidating debt seems to lead people to run up more debt. So sometimes a personal loan can help. It gives you a fixed rate and fixed payments. But a lot of times it's just that, you know, that day-to-day struggle of paying it down over time that actually does it the best, because then you get used to living within your means and you get used to figuring out how much money is going in and going out. And those skills can stay with you for a lifetime and help you prevent future debt.
Always good insight. Thank you, Liz Weston, columnist for NerdWallet, based in Los Angeles. This time tomorrow, Technology Thursday, when we take a look at the latest advances in sunglass tech. Still to come, Ford makes a move in electric trucks.
A wealth of information for managing your money. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Ford is investing $500 million in an electric truck maker to help build a new battery-powered electric vehicle. We're joined by John McElroy, automotive industry analyst and host of Autoline.tv in Detroit. Welcome back to the news. Noon Business Hour, John. So what's up?
Well, it's a bombshell of an announcement here, really. Here's this gigantic automaker, Ford Motor Company, investing $500 million in an electric truck startup. And I think what's going on here is that Ford is hedging its bets. I mean, here's a startup that's got a proven platform. It looks like it's ready to go. Ford's nowhere near ready to go yet with its own electric pickup. And so I see this as it hedging its bet because, you know, Tesla's already announced it's going to do an electric pickup. And here's a very inexpensive way, even though, you know, not like $500 million is inexpensive, but here's a way of Ford hedging its bet just in case Tesla really catches on.
Well, it sounds like it's also the future.
Well, it is the future. I mean, the problem, though, is that we're not ready for electrics right now. None of the automakers knows how to make any money on these unless the price of them is $50,000 and above. I mean, Tesla recently gave up trying to build a $35,000 electric car. It can't do it. Well, it can't do it and make money. So the other thing is there's still not enough electric charging stations in most of the country. Certain regions, California and some other areas, have plenty of charging stations, but the rest of the country is not. So while the future is electric, we're just not ready for it right now.
Is this particularly important for Ford, given what pickup trucks have really meant to that company?
Oh, yeah. No, great point, Cisco. I mean, without the F-Series pickups, Ford would cease to exist. They're really the crown jewels of the company. And so this is something of an insurance policy that it's taking out, investing $500 million in Rivian, the electric truck startup, because if electric trucks do catch on, it's got a foot in the door already with Rivian, and Ford has got to make sure that no matter what happens, it protects the franchise that it has with the F-Series pickup.
Thanks so much, John. Always good to have you on the show. Great insight. John McElroy, automotive industry analyst, also host of Autoline.tv, based in Detroit. Past programs, later today, a podcast of this hour at WBBMNewsRadio.com and the Radio.com app. Bloomberg checks the markets next.
WBBM News Time, 12:55. Let's take a look at today's business news, sponsored by Baird. And here is Joan Doniger.
Chris, investors were on the edge of some new records, but they've stepped back as they look through today's batch of earnings reports. The Dow right now is down 47 points. The NASDAQ is down 3. So is the S&P. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg is actually up 0.1% now. Kerr Mining shares pushing the index higher. Now, automakers these days are going all in on SUVs, dropping sedans, just as a new generation emerges with little interest in the larger vehicles. Generation Z is still very young. The oldest, however, will be graduating college in a pretty soon, couple of years maybe. And J.D. Power says they are more conservative with their money than millennials, and few Gen Zers can afford a costly new SUV. When you go to Walgreens or a Kroger supermarket, there could be cameras watching, not to see if you're stealing. Those cameras are there to get to know you, your face, and see what you're buying. Cameras are looking to gauge your age, gender, even your mood, as companies pitch it as a way to compete with Amazon. With business at 25 and 55, live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, Joan Doniger, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS-FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.